Metallica, here they come, the kings of metal.
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
And
I'm Johnny Sword.
Finally.
Johnny Sword.
You know what? Let's hit the applause button. Listen, let's get some Johnny Sword.
Johnny Sword is in the house. Are you kidding me? This is insane. I got to find it. We're using a new machine here tonight, everybody. Oh, my gosh. Johnny Sword.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We have been talking about you for a year now. We've been trying to get you on. It's finally happened. We're here on tour in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I just got to tell you, it's nice to see you. I'm glad to have you on the podcast.
Well, man, I'm glad to be here. This is a real honor. I've listened. I'm a listener. I listen weekly. And
are you a patron?
I'm working on it. My bank account's got this weird thing. I got to set it up, but I'm going to get there.
Listen, you're a patron every day. We're on the road together, okay?
Yeah.
I literally know where you sleep because it's right across the bunk alley from me. And occasionally I'll reach over there and just pat your head just for fun while naked. But
yeah.
Anyway, if you're wondering what's going on, we have some exciting stuff going on today, right? So we're on tour in Chicago. If you're joining us for the first time, I don't know how this has happened, how you've gone this long without knowing that
right.
Probably the greatest podcast of all time, not just about Metallica, has been going on for almost 6 years.
All time, yeah.
And that's us, Metal Up Your Podcast. Nice to see you. Ethan and I are two professional touring musicians. We get together every week, despite our touring schedules, to talk about Metallica because they're our favorite metal band, period.
Correct.
Now, here's what's happening with Turn the Page. We're starting a new series. Welcome, right. Everybody, to the new series. In fact, let's get a round of applause for the new series.
Let's get a round of applause. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Turn the Page is an idea that Ethan and I had, and I think the bulk of the idea, actually, credit goes to you, Ethan, so thank you. In fact, give yourself a round of applause for coming up with the idea.
<You're right. laughs> I think we need to talk about this thing for a second, too.
So we have this idea while we're on the road. Some of you can imagine who've been on the ride for a long time. We like to put a lot of effort and energy and research into our various Metallica episodes. The Tangent Cities were born because we like to have the ability to talk to our friend Paul Moak about Metallica, music, the music industry, any tangent we want. Turn the Page is basically the road edition.
Right, yeah.
And we'll be featuring many guests, but predominantly, unless he totally sucks today, one Mr. Johnny Sword. Let's give it up for Johnny Sword.
More Johnny Sword, everybody. Jeez.
Thank you so much.
So you can expect while we're on the road the Turn the Page series, which is, the applause wouldn't even die down. Jesus Christ. Where we're going to be talking about touring, we're going to be talking about music, of course, Metallica, reading the housekeeping, and you guys are all going to get a taste of the Johnny Sword flavor. What do you think about that, Johnny?
I'm excited to hand out the flavor.
Round of applause.
Oh my gosh, Johnny Sword. I can stop it too.
So the other thing that's exciting about this is that finally, after 5.5 years of being one of the most popular Metallica podcasts in the world, we leveled up and became professionals.
We are professionals
and
tonight.
And we got this podcasting machine that, is it really called the, oh, it's called the Rodecaster.
Yeah, the Rode microphones make a thing called the Rodecaster. It's designed for podcasting, which is obviously what we do. But here's the fun part, which is why we heard so much applause tonight. There's all these fun buttons on here that we load samples onto.
You know
right?
what? The Rodecaster is so cool. Give it up for the Rodecaster.
Give it up for the Rodecaster. Jeez. You know, and I'm going to give you, all you listening at home, in your cars, wherever you're listening to, at work probably, I'm going to give you a little taste of what this thing can do. You ready for this?
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
The push of a button, that's all it took, right?
Dude, the world is our oyster, finally.
Are you guys feeling that?
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I mean, come on. I'm not going to call myself a hero or anything.
Can you imagine if this is the first episode anyone hears, dude?
It's going to be insane.
We're going to get so much fucking hate mail about this episode, dude. They're like, oh my God, I heard so much about that podcast, and then I finally looked it up, and it's just a bunch of knuckleheads hitting the applause button.
I mean, earlier today, when I was getting this whole thing set up, I was like, man, this thing's going to be great. It's going to save us time for editing. It's going to be great on the road, blah, blah, blah. I feel like now we're just a bunch of kids got let loose in a toy store.
If we keep hitting those buttons, this is going to be a 4-hour episode.
I know. I think people might end up getting pissed and maybe calling someone. Ah, shit.
Dude.
We haven't talked enough Metallica yet. They're on their way.
Dude, put that balloon up your butt quick before they get here.
All right.
Let's get it together, guys. Can we calm down? Johnny, you can laugh on the mic. It makes it funnier for the audience.
It really does, yeah. We call it the church giggles.
What do you think so far?
My mom used to call me giggle shits when I was a baby because I would laugh until I'd shit in my diaper. Giggle
shits. Dude, the funniest thing is this is when he was 26 years old, dude.
I know. This is like 2 years ago.
Remind me too, once we get through the housekeeping, which we're going to do some housekeeping, we're going to read everyone's emails. But remind me to have Johnny tell us all the Paul Stanley diaper story.
Oh, that's
speaking of giggle shits. All right, so here's what we're going to do. But turn the page for this week. So especially if they involve Johnny's sword, I think what you're going to get from the Turn the Page series is basically a riff of what it's like for us on the tour bus, where
right.
maybe it's one night where we're all three agreeing on the merits of one Stone Temple Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a hearted, passionate discussion over Sammy Hagar versus David Lee Roth.
Right.
Maybe it's the never-ending Bon Scott Brian Johnson debate.
I mean,
maybe it's the cumbersome wars that we've been in for a year now.
That one gets a little cumbersome.
Yeah,
and it's very true. Sometimes that feels a little like.
I like to turn that frown upside down when I hear that cocked wah at the top in F sharp. You know what I'm talking about, Johnny.
I feel you, baby.
Now. Today we're going to learn a little bit about Johnny's origin story. So I hope you brought your pens, your pencils, your paper, your protractors, and your Texas calculators.
That's right.
Because you will be tested on this material.
Mm-hmm. Next week, yeah. It's a big test.
Man, I don't know if I'm ready for this test.
So here's what we're going to do first. We're going to burn through some of the news. We're going to talk about what's going on a little bit with the boys. We got some patrons to say thank you to.
That's right.
And of course, we're going to dip in with the Metal Up Your Podcast community in the email portal. And hear what everyone's got to say. There's some interesting stuff. We're going to, of course, be kicking these topics to one Mr. Johnny Sword Esquire.
That's right.
To get his take on it. So you want to lead us off with some of the news articles?
I would love to, yeah. Well, there's been a lot of Stranger Things talk in the last few weeks, of course, because of the Master Puppet scene with Eddie Munson. Johnny's seen it, Clint is not, but we all know what happened. Something cool. There's a thing on the show called the Hellfire Club. It's their Dungeons & Dragons club.
Nerd alert.
Bitchin' shirts.
They got shirts. We saw a guy in a t-shirt yesterday.
Yeah. But Metallica and Stranger Things.
That was Ethan.
That was me. I was actually shirtless. That was my tattoo. I'm a chest tattoo. Give it up for my chest tattoo, everybody. That's amazing. Jeez. Oh, stop. Jeez. Okay. Anyways.
It's really nice that we're able to bring an entire studio audience on the road with us.
It's pretty well, especially in this tiny hotel room.
I know. We keep them in the trailer, but yeah.
Well, so Metallica and Stranger Things have collaborated and launched a new Hellfire Club inspired merchandise. And Metallica launched the thing and said, Eddie, this one's for you. They wrote to announce the line of clothing. It's a t-shirt, like a baseball tee and a hoodie. We're having the most metal meeting ever of Hellfire Club, so we're scouting out lost sheep and outsiders to join. Do you think you have what it takes? Then suit up.
Wow.
So, yeah, basically, you know, you can go to Metallica.com and get yourself some Hellfire Metallica collab shirts.
Okay, very cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I'm into it. I think it's great.
I think it's awesome.
In fact, give it a round of applause.
Why not?
Why do you keep navigating away from this one? It's our most commonly used one. Just stay on that block.
I should. You're right.
It's not going to be the last time we do this riff, dude.
Yeah. All right, seriously.
Oh, everyone's laughing now. Jeez, my God.
I feel like we're on Jimmy Fallon right now.
Honestly, it's kind of getting to the point a little bit for me where it's kind of getting a little psychedelic.
I know, right? That's the quadruple vodka.
Dude,
you're
I've heard the psychedelic thing.
The other bit in the news is the Hudson County Community College, which is in, by the way, no joke, New Jersey.
New Jersey's.
Has been named one of just 10 community colleges nationwide to have been named to the Metallica Scholars Initiative Cohort 4. I don't know what that means.
It's a contra cheat code.
It's a contra cheat code. Up, up, down, down, left, right.
Cohort 4.
Anyways, they've been chosen to receive $100,000 for training. HCCC will provide previously incarcerated individuals instructions and pathways to certification in welding.
Wow.
Which is a good trait in life. A lot of things need to be welded, am I right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I weld. I love welding.
Damn.
Hey, dude, man, if he kicks it to you, man, just go with your gut, dude. Go with your heart.
I mean, I was just thinking, dude, if I was a welder, I would have Sad But True blaring every morning as I fired up my rig.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I got to switch pages here.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
I'm still getting used to this machine. It might be a little delay on all the samples here.
But go on Metallica, man. That's cool. That's cool as hell, for real.
You know, I don't know how much you know about, like, their charitable ventures, but they actually do a lot to give back to the community, especially at the local food level, the food banks they do it. They do a food bank in every city that they play.
Yeah.
Ethan, wow. They do a what's called the All Within My Hands Day of Service. Ethan's even been a part of that.
I did one in Salt Lake City.
When you're in Salt Lake, right?
That's right.
So they not only have made, I guess, inarguably, the greatest metal records of all time, but they also give back, which I like. Makes me proud to be a fan.
Of course.
Listen, you can support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes. Doesn't cost you nothing. It's free, in fact.
Right.
To use the nomenclature of the youth, it's frizzle.
It's frizzle.
You can also tell a buddy about it. You can talk about us on your podcast. I was telling the guys at Guitar Center today, they were asking about what band we were in and stuff, and I was telling them also, because we were buying a bunch of podcast gear today.
Right.
And I was like, dude, how about a band guy that has a podcast? You guys ever heard of that?
Yeah.
They're like, new, yeah. Right? I'm like, dude, you're kind of a loser if you don't have two or more podcasts.
I'm a loser because I have one.
Super loser.
You have two.
My other one I haven't done in so long because I care more about this one. You've got like six of them. I know that was a pretty sad.
Dang, that was a burn, dude. Well, here's a really cool way to get in touch with supporting the show. It's called the Patreon Train, and
that's right.
The very minimum, you get a shout out on the show. We're going to shout out these lovely people right now, but you get so much more over there. You're going to hear a commercial for it later. I won't bore you all. And Johnny Sword himself, I think he's nodding off and snoring over there. Do I hear some snoring? But I do want to say thank you to them in person. Jason Gudemut rejoined Patreon. Thank you for hopping. People hop on and off all the time.
They do.
We liken it to being like a train full of hobos, and Ethan and I are the lead hobos with the little satchel at the top of the stick, and all I have in there is just a can of chicken noodle soup from 1986.
That's right.
The year Master Puppets came out. Just waiting for that special occasion.
Waiting for when times get hard.
We want to thank Ryan Bonovich, who increased his pledge, Rakesh Gopaplan. And you want to say the last two, Ethan?
Gerardo Rodriguez and Patty Sloan rejoin Patreon also. Let's give it up for them.
Give it up for the patrons on the Patreon train.
Hell yeah. All aboard.
I didn't hear the choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
Oh, it's in there. You want to hear it again?
Yeah, let's hear it again.
Okay.
I'm missing information in one of my ears. I didn't hear it at all.
Well, listen, all aboard, because there's a choo-choo train. Do you hear it, Johnny?
I don't hear that.
How are you not hearing that?
We're not getting the...
One more time.
How much did we pay for this goddamn thing?
Take it back.
You know what? Let's go to Guitar Center right now.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, we're not hearing that. It sounds like a pause.
Well, I can tell you it's in there.
I hope our audience can hear it.
I heard it just
fine. I hope it's not a ghost train.
So you mean to tell me it's been doing a choo-choo train this whole time?
No, that's a different applause.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, the other applause is this one. So
the only thing that makes me sad about it is I'm warning what other nice little bits of audio information I might not be hearing.
I don't know why you didn't hear that, but
I know
we'll move forward. We'll like the train. We'll keep heading down the tracks.
Well, thank you to everyone who became a patron. In all seriousness, it means a lot to us. You guys make the world go round. In fact, one might say that you guys were hero. And then a hero
comes along. I wish there was 50 buttons.
I love just watching you toggle through the banks. I will say this too. You really are doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
I want to give a shout out to my co-host, my cohort, my compatriot, my compadre, who made all these samples, loaded them all in, learned the gear. I have no idea how he's doing it. In fact, I suspect that it might be some voodoo magic.
Hello,
that I don't
me.
That I don't understand. All right, we're on all the socials. Good God, you know what they all are: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music. The easiest way to get a hold of us, and this is kind of the part of the episodes that I look forward to the most, which we call the email portal.
That's right.
You can write in metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. We're going to hear from the Metal Up Your Podcast community. Always interesting opportunities for tangents, for insight, for off-the-cuff remarks. I'm excited for Johnny Sword to jump in the warm water here. It is warm because I have been peeing.
Right.
And you can all join me, too, in what we lovingly refer to as...
Well, all right. How about that, huh?
That was a good jump, man. It's warm in here. This water's warm.
Well, that's because Clint has been urinating.
Again, on account of the urine.
All right, our first email is from our good friend Anthony Broom, who we just recently hung out with. Yeah. Awesome dude.
Have we talked about that hang that we had with Anthony yet? Johnny was part of that.
Johnny was part of that. Remember, Anthony hung out when we were... it was the night we went to the Detroit game, or the night after?
No. It was the night... Jesus, I can't even remember.
We'll go Tigers real quick, but...
First of all, yeah, go Tigers. That's our team. Those are our boys.
It was in Detroit.
That was in Detroit, but we didn't... That was a different day. Oh,
you're talking he came to the bus. Yeah, we hung out. We had a little hang at the bus.
Well, yeah. We hung out at that amazing backstage area. Probably the greatest backstage area I've ever seen.
Oh, the Faster Horses Festival.
Oh, yes, dude. I took him to catering. It was kind of like our first...
Did you call him the next day?
Yeah.
You better have.
I called him an Uber. You know what I mean? No. There it is. There's my crowd.
They love you, Johnny.
We should talk about this backstage area because it's you don't often get these amenities. So a lot of times the backstage area would have like maybe an open bar, maybe like a place where you can sit. Maybe, if you're lucky, a little bit of cornhole.
Maybe.
And the game,
yeah.
But this backstage area had big open area, big corners with all these like comfortable sofas and padded chairs, gourmet food, chiropractors, masseuses.
Mm-hmm. I got my nails done.
There was a nail bar.
A mani-pedi place. There was a pool that only our tour manager got in.
Wait for it. Two pools.
There were two pools. The only person that got in was our tour manager, who played with all the stuffed floaties by himself.
With all due respect, he got in both pools.
Well, he's the smartest one of us.
I mean, that's called taking advantage of the situation.
There was a mini arcade, an open bar, good toilets, mm-hmm. You know, good places to use the restroom. I don't know how many bands played that day. Let's say over 100.
Right.
A million, and we saw a bunch of our friends from Nashville, 100 buses out there. Nary a band member back in this area. We were like the only band back there.
It was wild. Mm.
And Anthony Broom, who we've known for a long time, who even started the Discord, which shout out to Anthony.
That's right, he started the Discord.
We finally got to meet Anthony in person, and he got to enjoy all the benefits of that backstage area.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got a massage.
He got a massage, yeah. He got adjusted. He got a bunch of free drinks, free food. And we kind of felt bad because, you know, we got him on the guest list, not a problem. What we didn't know was they were charging an insane rate for parking.
And who do we need to say, give a shout out to, who came to the show but couldn't pay for that parking? We didn't know the parking was crazy.
I'm blanking right now. I'm so sorry.
Whoever it is, you know who you are. We're really sorry. We got them tickets, but we didn't know that there was like all these associated costs with getting into the show with the parking stuff.
Had no idea.
So Anthony came in, and so we got to hang with him for like, I mean, I didn't ever want that night to end.
I know.
That was a great time.
We were there for like, 4 hours?
Oh, yeah, a good while.
So all that to say, this next email is from Anthony Broom.
And we also had a great hang the next night in front of the bus, listened to a bunch of great music, all that good stuff. Yeah. And I even had lunch with them the next day.
Well, because strangely, where our bus call was happened to be like right across the street from his house.
Yeah, his neighborhood was like right across the main road. It was pretty wild.
We planned it that way.
Yeah.
Sorry, Anthony.
Anyways, he says, hey guys, just want to write in and say thank you guys for an elite hang on your trip through the state of Michigan.
Mm.
It was so great to put an in-person interaction into the books with a few great guys, talking about Johnny over there, and some of my favorite content creators. The post-hang and the serendipitous location that it happened to take place at made my whole day a gift from the metal gods. Thanks again for all you do and how the community you've created has helped bring so many together. I've made a lot of buddies through Met Up Your Podcast, and it was a genuine treat to be able to add the two of you to the list of great people I've met through the show. One question I'll leave you with, and this is to you too, Johnny.
Oh.
If a lightning bolt hit you today and granted you the powers to play one Metallica tune note for note with that same good Hetfield Kirky sauce, which would it be and why? Take care of yourselves on the road and hope for beers again with both of you in the near future, in the future in Nashville, Michigan, on tour or otherwise. Anthony Broom. All right, Johnny, I'll start with you.
Well.
No presh.
I actually have a lightning bolt tattoo because I was struck by lightning.
Oh, shit.
But it did not give me the James Hetfield ability.
Right.
You were struck by lightning?
I was.
That's kind of scary.
All right, I know everybody wants like the super fast like Hetfield thing, right? But I got to tell you, I'm a real sucker for Sad But True. I think it's one of the heaviest riffs of all time.
Sure.
I've played it a million times on guitar myself, and it does not one time sound like Sir James Hetfield.
Or Sir Kirky.
Or Kirk. Yeah, whoever plays it. Who plays it?
James.
Well, they both do.
Right. I mean, in the studio, that was all James. But, you know, they famously did this thing at that time where James would do both rhythm parts on the left and right, and even sometimes he would do whatever the other channel that wasn't the Hetfield thing with Kirk's gear. To get Kirk's vibe, but it would be James playing it because he was so anal about it being perfect. And then he would do one up the middle that they called the thickener.
The thickener.
I do like how you let off the story sort of nonchalantly with the fact that you've been fucking struck by lightning, by the way. I've never heard
is this real?
No, that was
oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just showing a big old magnifying glass on that. On that.
Sorry to be a letdown that I wasn't struck by lightning. But.
So I just want to make sure I understand the question right. It's not saying if you like could pick up his guitar and have his tone. It's saying like if you could master a song note for note.
If you were struck by lightning and all of a sudden you had the ability to play one song, no problem. Like so I'm leaning towards something like a Blackened or Dire Z, something that I'm physically not able to do.
The song that shoots to my mind is Disposable Heroes.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Now, yeah. I know there's some knuckleheads out there that are like, I can already play that.
I can do that.
Well, yeah. No one asked you. They asked me.
Yeah, exactly.
And Johnny Sword.
Yeah, that's
right. And Ethan Luck.
Yeah.
All right, what about you? So you were saying Dire Z or Blackened. Well, you got to pick one. Which one do you pick?
I'm going to go with Blackened. So it's in my top five Metallica songs of all time. I've always loved that song. Rhythmically, I can play it. It's a wrist burner for sure. But the leads, no way. So I'd love to do that.
Same. I've admired that song my whole life, ever since I remember hearing it. And to this day, even watching them play it, even if it's a little loosey goosey,
mm-hmm.
it still amazes me how easy they make it look.
Right. And shout out to one Mr. Jason Newsted for writing that main riff.
Yeah, that's our boy, new kid. All right. Thank you, Anthony. Ryan Bonovich writes in and says, good day, sirs.
Good day, sirs.
He says, my name's Ryan. I'm reaching out from just outside of the fine metropolis of Philadelphia, PA, New Jersey's. I'm not sure why it took me this long to email you guys, as I've been a loyal Metal Up Your Podcast listener for about 3 years now. I was lucky enough to attend the Burrito Gate pre-party in Louisville back in September and got to meet some of the beautiful community of people that were brought together by the great podcast. Anyway, a little bit about me. I just turned 30 back in March, so I unfortunately missed out on the legendary early years of the band. I fully came online with Metallica in about 2007 after watching their performance at Live Earth at Wembley Stadium on TV. I had heard a lot of their big songs before on the radio, and while I did enjoy them, I don't think I fully understood the gravity and power of the mighty Metallica until seeing that live performance and watching James command a crowd of what felt like 20 gajillion people. 2 years later, I got to see them perform live myself here in Philly on the World Magnetic Tour, and I haven't looked back since. Since 2009, I've seen the boys live 35 times.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Soon to be 37 after Buffalo and Pittsburgh this month. Some highlights of the shows I've seen include both 40th anniversary shows, both SNM2 shows, both Orion Festivals, and the Big Four show at Yankee Stadium. I was lucky enough to score a black ticket for the World Wired Arena Tour in 2018-19 and went to 10 shows on that run. The people I've met, places I've been to, and the things I've been exposed to because of this band have enriched my life in so many ways. This guy's a poet.
I feel like he's seen a million faces and rocked them all.
Dude, does he ride a steel horse?
Sounds like it.
I mean, he is from New Jersey's.
I mean, of course. Honey. Is this John Bon Jovi writing in?
He says the community. Wouldn't it be amazing if he signed it anyway? Signing off now. Love you guys. Bon Jovi.
JBJ.
John Bon Jovi. He says the community of fans around the globe, all united in their love for Metallica, really keeps my spirits up in this divisive times that we live in. Anyway, before I ramble too much, just wanted to say thank you to both of you for this great podcast. Apologies for not writing in sooner. I forgive you.
Me too.
I hope to meet both of you sometime in the future, whether it be a Metallica gig or if you guys roll through Philly on tour. Peace, love, and respect. Ryan from the suburban Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. P.S. We'd love to do a Metal Tales episode either for the upcoming Buffalo Pittsburgh shows or any of the shows I've seen in the past. Let me know if you need me. You want to explain what the Metal Tales are real quick?
Yeah, Metal Tales. If you're a patron, here's one thing of the many things you get. You get to come on the show with either me or Clint and talk about a show you've been to maybe sometime this year. One, for instance, like, you know, he wants to do Buffalo or Pittsburgh, or a show in the past. I talked to a dude that saw Cliff Burton play. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's one of these great things you get to do. You get to come on the show, tell your story, your Metallica story, and talk about your experience.
And at this point, I think we've done around 100 of those.
We've done a lot. I don't know what the count is. Johnny, can you count those for us?
How many have we done, Johnny?
99, 100.
There it is.
Not how many push-ups did I just do.
Oh, those. There's like five.
I may have overshot it a little bit. Well, thank you, Ryan, for finally writing in. It's about time. We've been waiting to hear from you. And guess what? Today you delivered. I'm going to be able to sleep well tonight.
And you know what? I think that deserves a round of applause.
Give it up. Now, does this have a choo-choo in it? I will never know.
This one does not.
All right.
All right, next email is from Samwell Abbas, our good friend Samwise. We can explain the story another time.
Samwise Genji?
Exactly. Gamgee.
Gamgee.
Yeah, that's exactly what we call him. Oh, yeah. Frodo, the ring.
Frodo, I couldn't carry it.
Oh, I can't carry it.
I didn't eat the bread, Frodo. Did he eat the bread? Did your Samwise eat the bread?
Samwell, I'm guessing he eats bread. He might break bread. I want him to come into America and break bread with us.
I want to listen to the band Bread while I eat bread with
Hell
him.
Hell yeah, man.
And maybe spin some of this jangle jangle put bread some, in my pocket.
Put some almond butter on that shit.
Dude, exfoliate that skin. Rub it off with some of the bread and then eat the bread. Because guess what? Waste not, want not.
No problem. All right, this is an email that we need to get some Johnny Sword insight on.
Oh. He says, hey, Clinton. You know he was struck by lightning.
That's true. He's got the tattoo to prove it. He says, hey, Clinton, Ethan, we'll put in parentheses in Johnny. I want to weigh in on the whole Pantera in quotes, by the way, Pantera reunion thing going on. I'm extremely mixed about it. Pantera is my one of my favorite bands ever, but as you guys said, like how there's no Van Halen without Eddie or Alex, I just find it hard to accept this new band as Pantera without the Abbott brothers. We all agree. Diamond and Vinnie made that band. Without them, no Pantera. Like there's absolutely no Motorhead without Lemmy. But I like Zakk Wylde being the guitarist here. I'm a fan of Black Label Society, and I think he's an amazing guitar player. Plus, he and Dime were so close. Zakk dedicated a song, the song In This River to Dime. But I guess we'll wait and see how this turns out. Also, you guys have to check out Boozed, Bruised, and Broken Boned, a live Black Label Society concert that also features our boy Robert Trujillo on bass.
Nice.
Anyways, take care. I thought it said keep picking ass. Keep kicking ass.
Dude, I pick ass every day.
We can pick ass all day if you want to.
I'll pick my ass as long as I have a finger in an ass.
I'll live with you guys. I'll see you do it.
Well, he says, keep kicking ass. Your pal, Sam Wise. All right, so Johnny, let's we've talked about this in private, but let's get your hot take.
Well, I'm just going to give it to you hot and heavy. Sam Wise, you're wise beyond your years, buddy.
That's right.
I agree with everything he said, man. I think all of his points are valid. I'm pretty torn on it. I love the music. I love the legacy. But I don't think you have Pantera without the brothers, man. And I'm going to argue that side forever.
Is this a tour that you go see? Do you spend money to see this tour?
No, not me. I mean, I'll watch YouTube videos. I'll check it out. But I'm not going to spend. I mean, if you guys want to buy me a ticket, I'll go. But I mean, for me to like get online and find the date and plan my travel and pay the $40 or whatever. How much
they ain't charging $40
yeah.
bucks.
That should be more than $40. Yeah.
So the $40,000.
There we go.
You know, I'm not going to do it.
What do you think about Zakk Wylde?
Well, I don't have any. I think Zach's going to do great with it. I really do. Is it Dime? Absolutely not. But will he do great? Will he study it and deliver because he loves the guy? Yeah, I think so. I think he's got the talent to pull it off. I don't think he's going to, you know, shine a negative light on it in any way, but he ain't Dime, and that's the reason. That's why everybody wants to go, right? Yeah. I mean,
right.
No disrespect to all the other guys, but you know, Dime was the heart and soul of that band.
He's definitely not going to like get up there and shit the bed.
No,
I don't think it's going to be an embarrassing thing. But yeah, he's. I think he's a little too sloppy to do it.
I mean, I'm curious, like Johnny said, and like you've talked about, I mean, I'll get online and start watching videos once they play their very first show, for sure.
Oh, I'll get online.
I will.
I'm going to log in, dude.
Dude, I'm going to get my mainframe up and run it. If you think I'm not going to log on and get online to see it.
I'm going to wax my surfboard to surf that web the next morning.
Dude, I'm on the World Wide Web 24/7 almost.
I have it on my phone.
Dude, I got it on my telephone,
too,
dude.
Yeah,
no. I have
you
it on,
serious,
it's
Clark?
A new feature.
You shitting me, Clark? Well, I appreciate your perspective. I agree. I think I've taken a hard line on it, but I will reiterate this for everyone out there listening. I hope it's great. I hope it's successful. Yeah. I think calling it Pantera is a disgrace.
Well, we don't know if they're going to call it Pantera yet. We have not heard from Phil or Rex. Like the you know that what we have heard the statement from like the Dime's wife or whatever or Zakk. Mm-hmm. All they talk about it is honoring their friends. A tribute to them,
mm-hmm.
But there's been no, there still hasn't to this day has not been an official announcement.
Yeah, which I think is dubious.
Sure, but
I think everyone's being real coy about it.
But
they're going to call it Pantera.
But the press is calling it Pantera.
They should call it Cowboys from Hell. That'd be cool. I would take that.
That would be cool. Now that get their press manager on the phone. That's an idea.
We don't have to. He's listening right now.
You know, I've thought about it.
Round of applause for their press manager.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Yeah, I love that guy. That's my guy.
That's our guy.
That's our guy.
I love that guy. Or girl. Yeah, I think that's my big problem with it is calling it Pantera because like you, Clint, I hope it does well, but not in the same way that everybody else wants it to go well. I want it to go well because I want it to honor Dom and Vinny.
Right.
You know, I don't want it to go well because everybody gets fat bank accounts and goes home.
Right.
Which everybody says, you know, it's going to be a money grab. I think think it will be a money grab, but if it honors Dom and Vinny, I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. My big hang-up is calling it Pantera without the brothers there, because it's not.
And we'll find out at some point if they're going to call it Pantera.
Yeah. To be determined.
I like your idea. Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah, well, I'm a fucking genius. Everybody knows that.
Round of applause for Clint, everybody.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Give it up. Yeah, give it up for me.
Give it up.
Well, thanks, Johnny. We appreciate that. Best of luck to the Cowboys from Hell and the legacy of Dime and Vinnie Paul, and may they rest in peace.
Of course.
Greatest metal guitar player of all time, in my opinion, Dimebag Darrell.
Amen.
Yep. One of the only guys that Eddie Van Halen gave it up to, the other being Angus Young.
Angus Young.
That's right.
Which that might be a future turn the page. All right, next up, Patty Sloan writes in, greetings, Clint and Ethan. First of all, please accept my apologies for inadvertently falling off the Patreon train. I've been on board for the last few years due to a recent card renewal. It would appear that it hadn't automatically updated the last couple of months. But fear not, I'm officially back on the ride. First of all, thank you to anyone who has supported the show in the past. People hop on and off for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes they don't know that their card wasn't activated. Sometimes people lose their jobs or got to get their kids some braces or want to go to some shows. And we never really do a lot of like magnifying glass looking at all that stuff.
No,
and all we really feel is just gratitude for anyone who's able to support the show. It really goes a long way. It's really the reason that I think we've been able to do it this long. And it's the reason we're able to give so many cool things back to the patrons. Mm-hmm, so no worries there. Thank you for being back on. Anywho, it's been a while since I've wrote in, and so allow me to reiterate how much I'm enjoying the podcast after all these years, and fair fucks for not missing a single Monday in eons despite working your arses off on tour of late. I'm guessing he's from across the pond.
Maybe across the pond, yes.
I was raging, translation, most annoyed that I missed you guys playing my hometown of Belfast with Morgan in June. Unfortunately, it clashed with Hellfest in France. Otherwise, I'd have been there with bells on. Ethan, in the recent tour rundown, you mentioned Belfast was a rowdy show. Can you elaborate on that? I'd expect nothing less from Belfast. We're an excitable bunch.
I mean, it was the first experience I feel like we had as a band with Morgan where every song, everyone's singing every word. They're cheering really fucking loud after every song. It just felt rowdy. It was hot as shit in there. It felt like a punk rock show in a way.
So hot.
So hot.
Dude, we were so hot in that show.
What do you think about the Belfast show?
I loved it, man. That was, I really felt, to build off what you were saying, Ethan, I felt that the band really kind of hit a next level on that, because it was like a real, I don't know, it was a special magical moment, that whole crowd.
It was interesting because there was a little bit of miscommunication about when the start time for the show was.
There totally was, yeah.
And we thought we had 30 more minutes, so we were up in this green room, and we were told with not a lot of time like that we would need to start the show, right?
Yeah.
And so, we were like, oh, we need to run down and turn some amps on and tune some guitars. And it really was like mayhem. It was completely sold out, maybe 500 people.
Right.
Hot, sweaty, people were excited. And we didn't have a lot of time to really soak that in, because as soon as we got down there, we basically had to start. And so I felt like it was definitely the first show we've ever played like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little loose at the top.
And I think we kind of came in just having to deal with it. And everyone singing every word of every song, I mean, that stands out to me big time.
Yeah,
that was a special show.
Yeah, Belfast is a great city. It was an honor to play there. I'm sure we'll be back. I can't wait to.
He says, Clint, I've recently started listening to your A to Z podcast with Katie, and I'm loving it. Be jumping on the Patreon over there also. Just when I thought no one could rival your dulcet tones, along comes Katie Featherston with what I think is the most soothing voice I've ever heard. It's like a bi-monthly ASMR sesh. For anyone curious, I have a third podcast with my friend Katie Featherston, who famously starred in the Paranormal Activity movies.
Right.
I met her on tour with Bob Schneider about 11 or 12 years ago, and we've been really good friends ever since. Most people know that I'm a big horror movie fan. She's a Bob Schneider fan, so we became friends because she was just coming to all of our shows in L.A. I've produced a record for her. We've gotten really close. We've been close for a long time. And we started this podcast called A to Z with Clint and Katie. Every 2 weeks, it's a new episode based on the alphabet. Just reasons to, basically, they're just tangent cities.
Right.
Love it. Buddy podcast thing. Katie's very, you guys met Katie, right? Did you guys meet Katie?
I don't think so.
She came to the LA show.
That awkward church?
She did, yeah.
Maybe so. That was a busy night for me with family and my wife and stuff like
By
that.
By the way, I'm the lead singer of Lunar Satan. I'm the one who says church is awkward. I can't believe you just said that,
I'm
dude.
I'm so sorry.
I thought you liked church, dude.
I'm
come on,
so
man.
Sorry.
Just kidding. All right. So that's my. You can listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm glad that you are digging it, Patty. Thank you. On a final note, he says, just because I know you got how much you guys love A Tangent City, don't ask me why I'm raising this, but when is the last time you've listened to In Vogue's Free Your Mind?
Great song.
Do you guys remember it being so metal? It's super guitar heavy, solos and everything. He says, Clint, I've also started listening to your IOK podcast with Bob Schneider, which actually had me laughing out loud. He says, these Patreons are going to bankrupt me, but I need that secret weekly. So my other podcast with Bob Schneider is called I'm Okay, You're Okay, I'm Not Okay, You're Not Okay, which generally covers it.
Yeah, it covers the whole gambit.
You can listen to that also wherever you listen to podcasts. He says, I know how much you hate being asked to listen to something by other people, but perhaps you'll humor me with this one. Anyway, it's way more metal than I remember. And what about that descending pre-chorus bridge? Outrageously good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pause a little bit for Free Your Mind. I mean, here's...
You say applause or pause?
Let's pause and applause. Let's pause for the applause.
Come on. For En Vogue.
Give it up for the pause.
Patty's right. That song, there's some heaviness to it. It has that...
That's like the 90s jam. Like, free your mind and the rest will fall. Be colorblind, don't be so shallow. Dude, I haven't heard that in a long time.
I mean, look, I don't want to get lewd here, especially after you made that uncomfortable comment about church being... what'd you call church? Boring?
I said it was
awkward.
I said it was an awkward. It was an awkward venue. Awkward,
it was an awkward church.
Awkward church.
Wow. That's my new metal band name. Good night, Dark Condo. We are Awkward Church.
Awkward Church.
And then we just cover Third Eye Blind songs. Just Third Eye Blind deep cuts only. But no, I don't want to get too lewd. But in addition to liking En Vogue, liking the music, I believe I had whatever the CD that was on, and I loved What a Man, the Salt and Pepper.
Oh yeah,
collab.
Good collab.
That jams.
But I will say this. I was at an age where those music videos,
you had to be careful.
They were instructive.
Mm-hmm.
They reached somewhere deep inside of me and showed me that. And showed me.
Wait, use that one.
And showed me that romantic love has many facets. Yeah. And I was in love with the En Vogue ladies.
They were, I mean,
I could feel it in my plums.
I could feel it in my plums.
Just watch those videos.
Purple hue.
Feel it in my plums.
My mom was like, we should turn this off. And my dad was like, let the boy watch.
Let the boy watch. Dude, those ladies are some absolutely stunning,
they're
beautiful
very
women.
Beautiful women and beautiful. Great artists and great singers. And Johnny, any thoughts about the En Vogue ladies?
I'm going to have to rewatch this video. I'm a little younger, and I know the videos you're talking about. If I had to equate it, there was another video that was, you know, very instructive, had beautiful ladies in it. It was a song by an artist named Juvenile. The title track was called Back That Ass Up.
Juvenile, and, dude. It's 90s R&B.
And I loved that music video. Right. It was great.
Right.
So I'm going to have to rewatch. I'm going to have to go back and watch this one. I don't know if I remember.
I mean, I know what we're doing on the bus tonight. We're watching some. We're having an En Vogue-a-thon.
Oh my goodness.
A little song called Never Gonna Get It.
Never gonna get it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Dude.
I know Jesus. You guys think we just played an En Vogue sample, but that was actually me.
That wasn't an excerpt from the actual recording.
I can
we
confirm.
Were just singing it. Yeah, you were here.
I'm right here.
He ends his email by saying, gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to read my email, and please accept my good vibes from across the pond in the Emerald Isle. Keep on keeping the scene alive. Yours sincerely, Patrick Sloan, a.k.a. The Outlaw Torn, Belfast, Ireland, New fucking Jersey. He says, and then he wrote Kill Bon Jovi.
Whoa.
So the story about that, Johnny, if you don't know, is that somewhere in the late 80s, no one write in, because I'm not even going to try to guess the actual year, so I'm not going to even get it wrong. Sometime in the 80s, Metallica was playing a festival with Bon Jovi, and Metallica was playing earlier in the day. They hadn't quite popped off to Bon Jovi level. They hadn't written their Runaway yet. And while Metallica was playing Creeping Death or something, Bon Jovi coptered in, and the sound of the copter kind of overshadowed their set. So James Hetfield wrote on his headstock of his Jackson, Kill Bon Jovi, which was a pretty reasonable response.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair.
Manslaughter, you know, if someone gets in your sonic space, the only reasonable thing to do is to call for their immediate death.
Maybe Am I wrong?
No,
that's actually one of the Ten Commandments of Satanism. If you guys didn't know that, if somebody disrespects you in your own home, you are legally allowed to kill them if you're a Satanist.
Especially if they land a helicopter in your front yard.
I live by that code. Well, because here's the deal. I don't have a helipad on my roof. Now, I'm doing pretty good. I got that podcast jingle jangle. Okay? Right. I play guitar for Morgan Wade. I'm doing fine. But do I have a helipad? No.
Not yet.
So if you try... Not yet. It's coming. Donaldson. This will be Donaldson's first helipad.
Right.
But if you land a helicopter on my house, you're going to fuck up a lot of my nice shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be put to death. Period.
Even if your name is John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, dude.
I don't care if you were living on a prayer. You're going to have to be living on a prayer because I'm going to cut your fucking head off, dude.
Yeah, so you can run away.
Dude, he gave love a bad name when he landed on that motherfucker.
Well, sounds like he's wanted, dead or alive.
Well, listen here, Clint.
He literally went down in a blaze of glory.
He did. And listen,
it's his life, dude.
trying to get my pun in real quick. If this happens, know that I'll be there for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. These 5 words, I swear to you.
I won't land my chopper on.
Well, hey,
out of words.
Who says you can't go home?
Dude, we'll follow a rainbow and hijack a Potter. No, well, what is it? We'll follow a rainbow and crash into a pot of gold. Crash Who says you can't go home?
Crash into Clint's house because it doesn't have a helipad.
It's
Fred Durst actually wrote that.
I heard that too. I read that in a book. Well, thank you. Thank you, Patrick. We got one last email before we dip into this turn the page sauce.
All right. Last email is from Jason Goodman. He says, I wondered if I could ask for a blessing from Clint.
Bless you, child.
Bless you, yes.
Yes. For you, many will come. Many have come to me in prostration, laid straight before me, demanding yet requesting the blessing, and I grant it now to you, Jason.
Jason would like to know. He says, I play solo acoustically and sing and have been working when I can on getting a set together to hopefully play a few times a month at some area bars and restaurants that used to have live music before the pandemic, but as of yet have not gotten back to it. I'm hoping by this fall or winter they'll be ready and willing to have performers once again. A song of yours, Clint, that I've held close is Albatross, another one of my favorites.
It's the only song of mine that Ethan knows.
It's just Sergio goes to
every time I compliment this song, he goes, that's the only one.
Guess what the only song that he's played pedal steel on? A song called Albatross.
I played drums on a lot of shit.
That's the only one I hear you talk about.
Have you heard that song?
Was that on the Lunar Satan record?
No,
it's on Vampire.
Vampire, yeah, it's amazing.
I probably haven't.
It's amazing. Anyways.
Well, he's only heard Albatross. You haven't even fucking heard Albatross.
I haven't.
Jesus Christ.
It's going to be my new favorite when I hear it, though.
He says, since I perform mostly covers and I've never been able to ask an artist if they mind me covering their song, I'd like to take this opportunity to ask for your blessing and add Albatross to my set.
Quite. Yes. For one must bless the sanction to play the song at one's local establishment, and for I grant it verily.
He says, who knows if I'll ever be able to play it anywhere, but I'm looking forward to learning it and playing it, even if the biggest crowd that ever hears it is around a campfire. Goes on to say, but for now, the real reason for my email, and this is actually out to the Melbourne Podcast listeners, because there's an offer here. My sister and I are going to see the boys in Buffalo on August 11th and have two tickets for sale.
To paradise?
I got two tickets to paradise.
Pack your bags and we'll land on Clint's house in a fucking helicopter.
With John Bon Jovi. I put them up on Ticketmaster, but I would love if you guys, any combination of you and yours.
Give it up.
That's pretty good. Any of the Mail Pockets listeners would like to buy them, and I can avoid the fees. He's not looking to make any money off them. He said they're $145, which is what they paid for them. Section 311.
I had a seen a lot of seven and his own.
The whole section is painted in the color of amber.
Hell yeah. See, Johnny's meant to be on the show. The people have been waiting for you, Johnny. We talk about you all the time.
Man, I'm so happy to be here. I've been waiting for the people.
Anyways, he'll be at the show, but he's offering two tickets. So, listen, Jason, if you're on Discord, maybe post it there.
Discord's where you need to be.
That's the way to be, but the place to be, excuse me. Anyways, he says, well, that's it for now, guys. Thanks for all you've done and continue to do. It's so important for me, as I'm sure it is for many others as well, not only on the Metallica level, but on a personal level as well. I truly love you guys. Peace and adios.
All right, so for any of you out there, first come, first serve. It's $145 a piece for two tickets. Section 311, row 3, seats 22 and 23. He's not trying to make money. These are face value.
Right.
If you want to write in, metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. We will get the first person that gets in touch with us in touch with Jason.
Yeah. Listen, and maybe Brantley wants them. I don't know.
I'm writing in right now, so you better hurry.
Oh, Johnny Sword just claimed him. Holy shit.
Well,
in a strange turn of events.
I know, for real. Well, listen, I hope someone gets the tickets and enjoys the show. For real.
It'd be weird if you didn't hope that. What if you did? What if you hoped that no one...
You know what? I hope no one buys these.
I hope those seats are
tickets.
Empty.
I hope those seats are empty. I hope that there isn't
just
even
because they're in Section 311.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Maybe I should buy them, dude.
Uh-oh.
That's our tour manager's favorite band.
It is.
It is. But oddly enough, he's played more Barry White on the bus than anything.
We should tell the story. So we met our good friend Zach, who works at Chicago Music Exchange. We're here in Chicago on a night off. He very generously drove out to have a nice little BDO with us. Everyone knows what a BDO is at this point, right?
Everyone knows this now, honey, please.
So we're in a hotel. We have hotel rooms, but we're over at this bar by the hotel. We haven't heard from Jaron, who's our trusty tour manager. He's doing a great job. Love the boy. Love the guy.
Love that guy. That's our guy.
He's our guy.
That's our guy.
Just like the Tigers are.
Go Tigers.
So we had to hop on the bus to grab a few things to come do this podcast. And Jaron's sitting on the bus for God knows how long, doing some work, probably taking care of us, taking care of flights and routing.
Right.
Just blasting some Barry White by himself.
The second I opened the bus door, because we went on there to make a quick beverage to do this.
Yeah.
And the first thing I hear is like, just sexy music.
You won't touch me when I... Dude, he was 10 minutes away from lighting a couple of candles and rubbing some oil on himself.
It smelled like body oil on there.
I know
what some of the listeners are thinking. Oh, you walked in and his iPod was on a Barry White song. Give him a break.
Dude.
Well, no, because song two kicks off. Guess what? Barry White.
I was just wondering. Rolling. Dude, there was an entire industrial jar of Johnson & Johnson baby oil. And I was like, what is this for, dude? And I thought he's going to be slip-sliding all over that bus all night.
I know. We need to be careful when we go back on later tonight.
I couldn't get up the steps because there was so much Vaseline, dude.
Sometimes it blows my mind.
Dude, Bob was telling me a story the other day. He was in a hotel. He was on the road. And he said he was in a like mid to nice level hotel, right? And he said he was going into the restroom to make a number two. What can I say? There's no way around it. No way around me saying that.
Yeah.
And he said right before he plopped down on the toilet seat, he's like, you know me, man. I see all. I see everything. And he said he saw something out of the corner of his eye, and he looked, and the entire toilet seat was covered with like an inch thick layer of Vaseline.
No.
Why?
For what?
Well, you know,
let your imagination run free, baby, because I don't know. So. I've never done that.
Not only does that mean there's some sick individual in the world just rubbing a bunch of Vaseline on every toilet seat they see. Gross. Secondly, that means a hotel maid, or I don't know what the correct term is.
You're
cleaning.
You worked in the hotel industry.
Yeah, not a while ago.
Housekeeping.
That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah.
Canceled.
Please
wah,
don't.
Wah.
Come on, Johnny.
If you guys would so graciously accept my apology for what I said earlier. Housekeeping is the term I was looking for.
It does give a whole new
they
meaning.
They missed it.
It gives a whole new meaning to the Paul Simon song, Slip Sliding Away.
That's right.
The more you're near a destination, the more you slip slide away.
Mm, how about Slippery When Wet?
Ooh,
Kill Bon Jovi, dude. Jeez,
Kill Bon Jovi, dude. Okay. That's what we call a callback in the biz.
That's right.
Well, where were we going with all this? One doesn't know.
Vaseline on the toilet seat.
Jaron listens to Barry White in his alone time.
Dude, he is oiling himself up right now.
Yeah, we should.
He just texted and said he was going to Wendy's because you got to have a couple cheeseburgers with Barry White.
Oh, dude, if you listen to Barry White, you get some nugs.
Dude, nothing goes better with a night of sexy time with a fucking number six with a six-piece nug and two fucking double stacks.
You know,
dude.
He's getting over there for sure. If you listen to Barry White, you need a Frosty to cool yourself down.
Oh, my God, because it gets too hot up in that bitch.
Way too hot. Barry White, well, he thinks
the text literally says, getting Wendy's across the street, BRB. That means the bus is locked. Don't come knocking because Barry White's playing.
Right. He's like, hey, right. Real quick, how are you guys going to be up there doing that podcast thing? We're like, I don't know, an hour or two? Well, why? What's up? No reason. No.
I'm going to get a Frosty.
Yeah.
We're like,
get some Wendy's.
What's that gallon of Johnson & Johnson baby oil doing up here?
I think
bro?
We got someone else's rider stuff at the show yesterday.
We got Van Halen's old rider.
Yeah. Hey, does anybody know why there's all this Vaseline across this toilet seat in here?
Well, look, it's that easy. Right into the show, metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com. We're going to play you a commercial for the Patreon. If you are willing and able, it's basically just like buying me and Ethan and maybe even old Johnny Sword over here a cup of coffee or a beer a month. It's at the $5 level, you get almost all the benefits over there. And you should even do it for not the good stuff because you should be willing and able, if you are, to support the podcast and the people who make the things that you love. We're going to leave you with it now, and then we're going to turn the page.
Let's do it.
Hey everyone, Clint and Ethan here, and we want to tell you about a little thing called Patreon. Patreon is an easy and interactive way to support the people who make the things that you love.
For as little as $5 a month, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast can continue to grow in quality and content. That's equivalent to a cup of coffee or a beer once a month.
Not only is it easy and affordable, but we've made it a priority since day one to give back to our Patreon community. We've given away deluxe box sets, rare vinyl, Black and Whiskey,
concert tickets to S&M2 and Slane Castle,
all four of our Cover Our World Black and EPs, 26 quarantine covers, and Lunar Satan demos,
invitations to exclusive Zoom happy hours, the ability to ask our guests like Jay Weinberg of Slipknot, Lizzie Hale, and members of the Metallica crew your very own questions,
and eligibility for our Metal Tales series where you can be a guest on Metal Up Your Podcast and tell us all about a notable Metallica show you've been to.
Subscribe to Patreon today and immediately get access to years worth of bonus content.
Thank you for supporting the people who make the things that you love. Peace.
Adios.
Thank you.
I can't talk about it anymore. It's giving me a headache.
Here, take two of these.
Ah, new print. Little. Yellow.
Different. Well, here we are. We're starting this new chapter called Turn the Page.
Yeah, we're still in Chicago. Yeah, we just thought, you know, there's got to be a way where we can, I'd say, have a little more fun on the road while doing these episodes. Still putting out good content every Monday. And we just started brainstorming the other night, and I threw out...
We did have a brainstorming session. I think the brainstorming session, you know, it's something we probably learned in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, it's one of the more practical things I've ever learned.
Right.
Right? Fractions, don't understand them.
Don't care. Long division?
Couldn't care less. Long division, most useless thing in the world.
Right.
Now, brainstorming session, getting a little idea tree.
Oh, let's do it, yeah.
Well, we already did it, and that's how we came up with this genius idea. So
Yeah. Like Clint said earlier, it's a bit of an extension of a Tangent City. I'm looking forward to certain things. Like, we're gonna have Johnny Sword on all the time, of course. Maybe we'll get Morgan on here, and you know, we play a lot of these festivals all around the country. We run into other friends and stuff. And if time permits, maybe we'll have some surprise special guests along the way. Be pretty fun.
Time
is of the essence.
Yes. What is time?
Does the blade of grass cry when it gets cut?
What do trees think of? Does the moon dream? Time is a flat circle.
Is the wind blowing or sneezing?
Do robots envision a time when their hearts burst with love? And so on.
How do you feel about time, Johnny?
Is it like Cyndi Lauper time?
Time after time.
Good song.
Ugh, love it. I think time is an illusion.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know, man. Sometimes it trips me up because, I mean, you guys know the lifestyle we live, and we're gone a lot, and we travel a lot in different time zones, especially going across the pond to our friends.
Time zones.
you know, going across the pond to Europe and things, it's just time doesn't seem real sometimes. It seems like we're all in some sort of great.
Sometimes you'll take a plane ride, and it'll be several hours long.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll have some cocktails. Maybe you'll watch a movie. And sometimes when you land from that ride, you will be an entire day behind.
Have you ever flown
or ahead?
Ever flown to Australia?
I have not.
You will lose a day. You'll fly on the 6th of whatever and land on the 8th.
Just a day gone.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye time.
Didn't need that day anyway.
Yeah.
But did you really? Because you were there the whole time.
Exactly, dude.
You can't escape yourself.
Some Twilight Zone shit.
Life is a curious kumquat.
Dude, we're just in a big simulation, that's all. This is the Matrix.
Is a curious kumquat.
It's a riddle trapped in a mystery, wrapped in a fucking enigma, bro.
That's right.
I didn't write that, Bon Jovi did.
Well, listen, everybody, we're here with our new segment, our new series, really.
Yeah, it's a new series.
Turn the Page, and we're here to meet Mr. Johnny Sword, who you've met throughout the beginning of this episode, but we're going to get Johnny's story, his origin story. Are you cool with that, Johnny?
Yeah, dude. I'll give you anything you want, man. What kind of story?
Hold on,
you want,
Ethan.
Dude?
Bend over. So,
okay.
JK, we can't do that because Jaren took all the Vaseline, dude. I was wondering where all that went. So, tell us about where you come from, how you got into music. Tell us who you are, dude. You're a Virginia boy, right?
Let me tell you something, brother. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
That's right.
Well, there's real. So first thing about Johnny Sword, I grew up in the WWE Raw. What's the
era?
Attitude era.
Yeah, that's what I'm searching for.
Also, I love this is the first thing.
Yeah, that's the first thing you need to know about me, man. Rule number one: Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's some true dirt shit, dude. Here's first thing you need to know about me. I come from WWE Raw, the Attitude Era. Yeah. Right,
Stone Cold.
So Generation X. All right, yeah, Diamond Dallas Page, brother. Sting. You want me to keep going?
I do. Keep going. Dude, I
mean, Kane, New Undertaker, dude. McMahon. All right,
McMahon. Fucking, you can't talk about him now. He's canceled.
Yeah. Well, okay. He's an asshole.
Did he get canceled?
McFoley.
He got booted out as a chairman.
He resigned.
Resigned.
That's the 2022 canceled.
That means he's still there.
We're gonna give you your pensions.
No, it means he was forced to leave.
Dude, Mick Foley.
Yeah, Mick Foley. Love that guy.
Yeah.
So that means that's about it, man. What else do you want to need to know?
The end, dude.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Roll the music.
Yeah, peace out.
Good night to our continent.
I'm a Virginia boy, and grew up in a small little town, not many people, and the population's like 8,000. So then I started playing music, found a couple of guys like me that were pretty rock and roll, and we wanted to go play. So we went and played in the bars and did some regional touring. We had a great little band called Dirty White Lies. And we kind of hung it up because I had a kid and guitar player moved. You know how it goes. Traditional stuff here.
I don't have kids. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, you know. It's what's the song? Jody Quit. Jimmy Got Married.
Summer 69.
Yeah. I probably butchered those
words. Well, it's also, isn't that kind of the story of Into the Great Wide Open?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Little Johnny Depp sauce.
Man.
Yeah, he had changed it with Jingle.
He did. He worked at the nightclub at the door.
It's hard. I wonder what kids do today, because now everyone's on social media. Everyone's got Facebook and TikTok and all this shit. When we were coming up, and I know you're about 10 years younger than me, so you're quite a bit younger than us, but when you find the like-minded knuckleheads that you go to school with, I mean, we had a drummer, and because we mostly just played Metallica songs when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And we had a drummer in the band who we did not like. But guess what he had? A double kick drum. He had double bass.
Dude, that meant he was good.
I know those stories, yeah.
I don't even know how good he was. It just meant he was in the band.
Right.
Yeah. He had a double kick drum, and he could play the machine gun part to one okay enough for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like we were playing it perfectly. And we were in a band for like 8 months, and we didn't like him.
Yeah. Dude, I know how it goes. I had to beg one of my good friends to play bass. He's like, but dude, come on, I want to play guitar. I'm like, I'm playing guitar, dude. Come on. You're going to have to play bass.
You have to beg everybody to play bass.
I know. That's why I'm here.
And guess what Johnny plays in the Morning Wave band?
Guess what I'm playing, dude?
Bass.
But no, it's just those young days are coming up for real fun, man. We played all over town, and, you know, we're lying about our age to get in places to play and, you know, running around, trying to figure it all out. Anyway, that kind of fills it out. And I have a unique story, and I don't encourage anybody else to do it, but I gave up. So go ahead, kids, give up. That's my advice. Just quit.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, as I said, I had a kid, and you can't really take care of a kid if you're trying to play in clubs. And you can, but I wasn't cut from that cloth. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to fold. I'm going to get a real job. And, you know, that's what I did. So then I did that for like 2 years. I was just like, I'm just going to write my music, and I'm going to play when I can. And, you know, I had this booking agent that was booking my shows. And I was pretty much telling him, hey, you know, book me for like cool stuff, but don't waste my time on this mom and pop stuff. I'm not going to do that because it's not lucrative enough, and I can't miss my work shift. Sure. So that's given up.
You didn't want to play for parents.
Exactly. Moms, yeah. I mean, if I can go make some good money and play, cool, let's do it. But anyway, interestingly enough, he was really close to some guys that were in Morgan Wade's band. And I was like, hey, man, did you like get them that gig? What's up with that? And he was like, I actually, Morgan found those guys. And I was like, oh, cool. Well, hey, if she ever needs a guitar player, let me know. So he calls me like 3 weeks later after that conversation, and I pick up the phone. He's like, hey, do you play any bass? And I was like, no. Why are you asking me this, John? And he was like, well, Morgan Wade needs a bass player. And I was like, oh, well.
I sure do play bass.
I play bass. Oh, hell,
dude,
yeah.
Did you say bass? Oh, yeah.
You cut out on me, dude. Yeah, I play bass.
They said bassoon.
So that evening, true story, got on Craigslist, tried to find a bass because I'm a guitar player. And, you know, found a bass rig in Asheville, drove down there, picked it up, and went to rehearsal or whatever. And I thought I was a fill-in guy. And, you know, I did two or three shows, and I was like, well, that's probably the extent of what I'm going to do with Morgan. That was cool. Nope. She was like, hey, man, you want to do all this running around? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, became friends, got in there, did the jig, and here we are.
Were you still doing your day job?
Yeah, I mean, I was still working a day job a lot of those early days. I mean, like, in that time, we were, like, it was me and two other guys in, like, a Chevy Impala with all our gear.
Yeah.
So I was around for that, and then COVID happened, and then Morgan kind of grew through all of that. You know, mm-hmm. That was when her record came out and things started happening, people started paying attention. And so when I came back after COVID, is, you know, that's when we all got together, and you know, things were kind of a different story from then on out.
It's interesting when you talk about the old days, because you've known Morgan longer than any of us,
right?
And it's, even to this day, even hearing you talk about it now, I tend to think about it being like further away in the past than it even was. It really wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, interesting.
What, 2019 when you started playing for her?
Yeah, yeah. Into 2019. I mean, I remember I was with her for like 6 months before COVID took off.
Right. So, which would have been March of 2020.
Right. So it was like my first gig I want to say it was like September or no, like October or November was one of my first shows with her.
So
of 2019,
I think one of the highest compliments you can give a new bass player, especially bass players that have been playing guitar before, Ethan and I have talked about this about you, is like there are certain bass players who are basically former guitar players that kind of just play bass like a guitar player. Mm-hmm. And I might even fall into that. I mean, I play bass on most of my records and I've played bass for other people. I play bass all the time. But I don't know if I know the discipline of it, if I'm steeped enough in it to play like a bass player. But you really seem to. Is a lot of that because you were learning like Jimbo's parts on the record? Did that like help?
Yeah. I mean, well, I appreciate you guys saying that. And
I didn't say that.
Well, I appreciate you, Clint. Ethan, we'll talk after this.
He so loved your bass playing on Albatross.
Yeah. Oh man, have you heard that song? It's my favorite.
Which, by the way, that's Rachel Loy on that song.
Hell yeah!
And Avi Vinegar is on that song on mandolin.
That's right.
I basically just called every friend I knew. I would have called you, Johnny, had I known you then.
Oh no, it's right. Cool. That's why I haven't listened to it yet.
And then Albatross would be your favorite song too.
It's gonna be as soon as I listen to it.
So Jimbo is Jason Isbell's bass player. Sadler Vaden, who plays guitar for Jason, produced Morgan's record. So he had basically a lot of Jason's cats play on it.
Right.
So that was one of your first, like...
Yeah, I mean, dude, I hate to admit this, but the truth of it is I spent hours trying to learn, because I'm always listening for guitar parts. I mean, I grew up, like, learning the guitar parts, listening for the guitars. Didn't really spend a lot of time listening for the bass parts. But when Morgan stuff was coming out, I mean, of course, I was getting like fed some of these songs before they were out, so I was like trying to pick it apart, like what's going on here, you know. So I spent a lot of time trying to play it exactly like they were playing it, because that's, you know, that's what you want to do, right?
That's how I learned how to play guitar.
Yeah, same.
I mean, I learned by just playing along to my favorite records. Maybe I was lucky enough, you know, once every like 4 months I'd go to the mall and my mom would give my sister and I a $20 bill, and that usually meant for me one CD.
Yep.
Because CDs were like $17.99, but occasionally I would buy a tab book. The tab books were $24.99, so I'd have to
save up.
My sister would run off to, you know, wherever she, whatever she was up
Wet
to.
Wet Seal. nobody knows that?
I don't know what porn you're into, but we're talking about how we got into music.
The ladies that listen to the podcast will know what the Wet Seal is.
Are you talking like a Seal album that's wet?
Oh, dude, all my Seal albums are wet after I listen to them. That's how much I like Seal. You guys know I'm a big Seal fan, right?
You got a trigger for that? Dude, you need a Seal trigger over there.
We need a Kiss from a Rose
really
trigger,
do,
dude.
Actually, yeah.
No, but where were we even going with this? That's how I learned to play. I would occasionally, if my sister ran off, my mom gave me a 20, and to her credit, she did it, I would ask her for $5 more and I could buy a tab book. So yeah. I would get like the Pearl Jam 10 tab book I had. I had an Appetite tab book. I had a Black Album tab book.
Tab books were the shit back then, man.
Mm. But that's how I really learned to play, because I couldn't afford a lot of that. And I would go to my friend's house who had internet and had a printer and print out tab from HarmonyCentral.com.
Harmony Central, yeah.
Mm.
But I think all of us learned to play just by listening to records. So that's how you learned it. You were listening to all the bass and honing in on it for the first time, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened.
And half of that album, Sather played the bass, so it's a little more simple, a little more rudimentary, but the Jimbo stuff is pretty dope.
Yeah. For anybody that cares to know, I'm a huge Sadler fan.
Right.
And I actually...
Aren't
the first
we all?
Time, give it up for that guy.
Who isn't these days? Sadler Vaden.
Sadler Vaden.
Yeah.
So I remember the first rehearsal I went to with Sadler there, and I was kind of real nervous, like, I stayed up till like 1 a.m. at my hotel in Nashville playing these parts over and over. Set an alarm for 6 a.m. Rehearsals were at 9. I set an alarm for 6. I woke up again at 6. Ran the whole set 3 times before I even got there.
I love it,
because I was so nervous. I was like, I can't mess this up. This is the guy. That's my guy. I can't mess it up.
You felt like if anyone would sniff out some bullshit, it would be him.
Exactly. Right, yeah. I was like, this guy's gonna know immediately that I'm a fraud.
Right.
Yeah. So. But anyway, so I get it, and he's very, you guys know Sadler, he's a very nice guy. He always makes you feel like you're great, you know. And so I remember telling him, because I was building up a little confidence, we'd been kind of chit-chatting through the day, and I remember telling him, hey, man, I really love all the work you did on Morgan's record, Reckless. I can tell which ones you did and which ones Jimbo did. And afterwards, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have said it to that guy. But, you know,
it's Sadler, not the coolest thing to say.
Yeah, Sadler's such a sweetheart. He's like, you know, he played it off. You would have never known that I said something.
He probably told his wife that night. He's like, you know what this guy said to me today?
This motherfucker.
He's like, you know who I don't like in Morgan's band is Johnny Sword.
I know for a fact that he loved you when he first met you, because one of the first combos I had with him, he was telling me about, like, you know, what the deal was, like, who's in place. And when he talked about you, he was like, Johnny's great. You're going to love him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well.
And even when Clint called me for the gig, when I was coming to my first show, I hadn't met you yet until, you know, we got, you know, to the airport. And I remember when we soundchecked that day, the first thing I thought, because I didn't know you were a guitar player. I just thought you were just a bass player, and that was it. And we soundchecked that day and ran, I don't know, five or six songs or something like that. And I remember thinking to myself, like, man, he's a really solid bass player. So when I found out you were a guitar player, like we talked about earlier, like, wow, he doesn't play like a guitar player.
Dude, you know one of my first memories with you? I appreciate you telling that story, and I'm going to piggyback off of it.
All right.
Because the first show you're talking about, we were at the Nashville airport, and we were flying down to Austin to play for open up for Willie Nelson.
At Luck Ranch, yeah.
Yeah, Luck Ranch. And when we got there, we were sound checking. We had a lot of time to sound check. We just met that day. We were kind of everybody, you know, you and Clint obviously had history, but, you know, I was trying to fill you out. We share the same side of the stage. And I remember we're just goofing off at sound check, and we all just start playing Alice in Chains' Wood.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're going to be just fine, yeah, dude. Listen to us.
And look at us now.
I actually forgot about that.
Look at us now.
I remember that moment. I was like, this is cool shit.
I mean, 16 tubs of Vaseline later, and we're basically family.
I mean, Jesus, here we are.
We're basically one person. Yeah, I remember that, too. I remember we were playing Wood. I remember we played a little bit of Rooster. And that's, that. I think, not to interrupt you telling your journey story, but I do think that we have a good thread of, like, there's a couple of bands. We like to go to war about bands.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I've been doing that since I was a kid. Like, if you can't go to some serious war about, you know, who you're sticking up for in music, then I can't relate to it. But we do have these threads of bands that we all just love. Stone Temple Pilots is probably the number one band that we get off on the most. But Alice is a big thread for us.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And Hall & Oates.
Good tone.
You want to tell that story?
I don't know if I could tell it great. Who can tell the Hall & Oates story?
Maybe that's for another time.
No, all right, we'll save it.
I mean, that was a long night of. Even saying ka-tunk, people are like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
we'll get into it one of these days. Don't worry. All
right. But yeah, so it is interesting you mentioned like feeling each other out. Obviously, I already knew Ethan, and you and I had a Van Halen convo our first day where I was like, yeah, we're cool. Because you were wearing a Van Halen shirt.
Yeah.
And then Morgan came in wearing fucking Jordans, which I didn't know anything about Morgan. Like, I'm not. There's a couple of different ways that you do things. When I got the gig, I hardly looked anything up about her. I almost didn't want to know too much. So I got the album, learned the album, and then I kind of wanted to go in more without knowing what was going on. But when she walked in wearing like Jordans and shit, I was like, you kidding me, man?
Right. You serious, said, Clark?
You serious? You shitting me, Clark? But it is interesting how when you feel each other out and you find those threads and you're like, okay, we're going to be able to make music together. It's interesting how much, I'm curious what you guys think about this. It's interesting how much the dynamic off the stage affects what happens on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I feel like you got to be kind of cut from, like, the same cloth. Like, you don't want to be, like, the replication of each other. You don't want to be the same person. But
sure.
You definitely got to be on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all bring different flavors.
For sure.
For sure.
I know my experience of that first show, you know, you're talking about as far as, like, the vibe off the stage, how it affects the vibe on the stage. From meeting you and Morgan at the airport to sound checking to just hanging out in that cool little backstage area with all the food, before we even played the set, I mean, before we went on, like, Morgan was already just busting my ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like we were already getting some inside jokes going. There was even one point where I asked Morgan maybe like 30 minutes where we were going to play. I had my like newsy style hat and I had this other kind of like brim hat. And I legitimately went up to her and said, hey, which one do you like better? And I had the hat on that I had been wearing all day. And she goes, she points to the hat in my hand. She goes, I need you to wear that hat because you were wearing that stupid fucking hat all day. And right then I was just like,
that doesn't sound like her.
That doesn't sound like her at all. Well, my point being was it was just, by the before we even played the show that day, I'd felt like I'd already been on the road with you guys.
Yeah,
for longer than I had.
And it felt right.
Yeah,
we're still even putting the pieces together a year later, but this feels like obviously the core of the band.
Sure. Yeah.
And yeah, it's been an interesting ride. So, what's it been like for you building confidence as a bass player?
Knowing the songs is the first thing. You know, you got to know the notes. Because if you guys remember in the early days, before we kind of had everything dialed in, there was a part in the song that I kept messing up. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I kept missing it. And it wasn't like, you know, terrible to stop the song, but it was, I knew I wasn't playing it the way the record sounded. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go back. I mean, I remember I did it like two or three shows in a row, and I was like, man, if I do that one more time, fire me. Because
I'm going to cut my own penis off.
Well, actually, yeah. This is why I brought you here tonight. So. It's happened one too many times.
Okay.
Yeah, the scissors are right over there.
Sorry, Johnny. See you later.
Do you...
I heard Bon Jovi's hiring, dude. I'm going.
Do you feel more comfortable now as a bass player?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Now that you've got some big shows under your belt.
Yeah. I mean, well, you guys have helped me get my wings a lot with some of these bigger shows, because there's stuff that we've done on this tour that I've never done before, and you guys have got a lot of experience being on the road,
aka we're old. How about that trombone for old for age?
Probably just do that.
No, dude,
if I think long and hard back in the olden days,
no, you guys definitely.
So, I mean, I feel like some of our listeners are going to be real bummed that we got this little machine here, but
like that we have this fucking machine that I'm calling the magic machine,
it's the magic
machine. Wizardry fucking combustion engine, then quit listening, because guess what?
It's here to stay.
We're having fun.
We're having a good time. You know, give it up for fun.
I can feel it.
Oh, dude. I can feel it. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's been interesting being on this ride, yeah, because you and I can
sorry. Dude, I'm already at the point where so real quick on the
I was gonna make such an important point, dude, that I already can't remember.
Keep,
by the way,
keep it in the chamber.
Can't remember. It's gone.
When there's a touch screen on this thing, and I can see the title of every button I can push, and I just look at the titles and I just get the church giggles right away, because immediately I want to push this button. I'll spare you for now.
Well, thank you.
That's for Jaren, dude. That's Jaren's Vaseline button.
Damn.
Can you just program that to say Vaseline?
Dude.
No problem.
What if he's fallen and can't get up because he's too slick?
Well, did he take his life alert
what
off?
What if he's like a turtle on its back and he's been calling for us, dude?
Help. Guys, help. Help.
Barry White, help me.
Barry White, help me.
Anyways, your thoughtful point.
I told you, and I wasn't even making a jokey. It's gone. It was gone as soon as it came.
Bye bye.
Well, should we wrap this up? Do we know enough about Johnny Sword? Oh, but you know, I know how we can wrap it up. Let's hear that Paul Stanley story.
Oh, dude, this is good.
By the way, we're going to hear more from Johnny Sword. Johnny Sword's going to be a featured member of the Turn the Page.
Oh, he's not going anywhere.
I'm going to come back. This has been a good time.
Did you have a good time? You were a little nervous about it. I don't want to embarrass you, but you were a little nervous about it.
No, well, I, as you guys know, I tend to say some dumb shit.
And, well, welcome to Mel Pier Podcast. So, welcome to the family.
We've been doing that for almost 6 years, dude.
Well, then in that case, if you would have told me that, I would have not been nervous at all. But, all right, so Paul Stanley, story time. I'm going to butcher this.
Hey, Paul!
So don't... Anybody listening to this podcast, do not quote me, because I don't know.
You can send your corrections and complaints to Ethan J. Luck.
Johnny.
Yeah. The
Sword.
The suggestions box is that trash can in your kitchen.
The suggestion box? Is that Sebastian Bach's brother?
Johann Suggestion Bach?
Dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Suggestion Bach Materno Overdrive, dude. Let's go. Jesus. No, I'm serious, though. If you want to put anything in the suggestion box, just send it to Ethan J. Lock at suggestionbox.com.
Suggestion box.
Okay. So I'm not even going to quote anybody. A story that I heard one time was that Paul Stanley, tends to do his Paul Stanley treatment in between songs. Hey, Detroit, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know? Little people drinking some fucking orange juice.
We got a little cold gin. You know, that whole thing.
Right.
So, anyway, the story is his roadies are having fun with this whole story or this whole bit that he does. And they had a whiteboard across the stage. And every night they would write something on this board and he had to work it into the show,
like raps,
and like
banter,
into like
yeah.
into like his banner, and if he didn't, he had to pay the crew, the stagehands, like $100, right? Well, Paul Stanley likes that money, baby, so he didn't want to pay the $100. So they write on the board one night, "Diaper fight."
Diaper fight.
I'd love to see his face when he looks over and sees it, dude.
Because he's probably not seen this until he walks on stage.
Yeah, that's the whole bit.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't know. So he gets up on stage, he's doing his thing, and then he looks over, he sees the whiteboard, and whatever it says on the whiteboard, he has to work it in or he has to give him all $100. So anyway, he looks over, whiteboard says, "Diaper fight."
Diaper fight.
So he's up on stage doing his Paul Stanley thing. He's like, "Oh, look at all these pretty babies in here tonight. I hope nobody starts a diaper fight." So he didn't have to pay the $100. He nailed it, dude. And I mean, as far as what I remember from that story, I don't recall where I heard it, but I do remember he never paid out $100. He worked it in every night.
I hope this still happens to this day.
Fifth
farewell tour.
He's probably not that hard to get a hold of. He's probably in the
yellow pages.
He's in the phone book for sure.
Or he's in the white pages.
Yellow pages are businesses, Clint.
Right.
Because you can look it up in the phone book.
That's where the phone book is. Give it up for the phone book.
Was your favorite song when you were a kid? You better bock that ass up.
Yeah, dude, I love that video.
Johann Sebastian Bach just playing in a thong, dude, next to a harpsichord.
Do you like the Aerosmith song "Bach in the Saddle"?
Oh. Bach in the Saddle again, bro.
I like the song "Blue on Bach."
We did have a funny night, dude. I accidentally called it
Black on Blue.
Black on Blue. So he started singing the chorus and reversing all the black on blue, fire in a match,
river on a tear.
We're starting to get into
tear
tour.
In my beer.
We're starting to get into tour jokes that don't really translate.
That's true. Wayne Shepherd, everybody. Or should I say Shepherd Wayne Kenny?
Black on blue, baby. It's
look up Black on Blue, Shepherd Wayne Kenny.
Well, look, this has been a fun inaugural episode of Turn the Page. I feel like it's like the boat when you hit the bottle on the boat and break the bottle to send it off.
Oh, yeah. Is that what we just did? We call it
a maiden voyage.
A maiden voyage. We just christened it.
Well, thus endeth and concludeth Turn the Page. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Johnny, thank you for being here.
Hey, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming to my hotel room. All the way down from room 308. Or
you think we could DoorDash some Vaseline?
I think we probably could.
Give me my phone.
Well, we appreciate everyone out there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. If you become a new patron, we appreciate you. If you are willing and able, consider signing up over there. It's $5 a month. It really helps the show. And if you want to come see us on the road, we're going to be on the road for the next 3 months. So
that's right, yeah.
Come into a city near you and take care of yourselves, take care of your families. I'm going to go ahead and say peace.
Adios.
See you, everybody.
You were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.
See everybody.
Seen everybody?
See ya, everybody.
I got that.
Oh. See everybody.
See everybody.
See everybody.
That's what I said.
Well, now that when you think about it a lot, it's...
Can you rewind it?
Yeah, let me hit rewind on the tape player.
Hey, flip it over and rewind it, dude.